It is time for a super over for Chop On. We are here today to talk about the World Test Championship final between India and New Zealand, which took place this last week. And here are the results of that. India went 217 all out in their first innings. New Zealand were 249 all out in their first innings. India went 170 all out in their second innings after imploding on the final day. New Zealand, with only 53 overs to go for the match, went 140 for two, which resulted in the Black Caps taking the inaugural World Test Championship trophy to their home country. Bharat, after seeing this whole thing play out, first, what are your thoughts on the World Test Championship format, and what were some positives and some negatives that you took away from the match overall?
I mean, firstly, before we start, Raju, what a moment for New Zealand, not just, you know, as a cricket team, but as a country. I mean, they have been renowned for, you know, being indomitable when it comes to rugby. You know, the All Blacks are just one of the greatest sporting teams in the history of the world. And the cricket teams always played second fiddle to them. They've come close. They've come close so many times to kind of, you know, knocking on the door of winning a World Cup. For years, they were the eternal semi-finalists. And then we saw in the last two World Cups, them making the final and losing tragically, of course, in 2015. And then sort of losing, you know, in 2019. But very few would have given them a chance, I think, of being the first team to win a World Test Championship. Like, you know, they've been a good test team for many years. They've gone through their ups and downs, but they've never been world beaters. So for them to be crowned world champions is very deserved, in my opinion. They play test cricket the way test cricket should be played. And yeah, I mean, I tweeted immediately after they won. I mean, it's the classic minimalist approach. You make the most of what you have, you make the most of what's given to you, and you make sure that whoever's watching gets the makes the most of whatever they're paid to watch you. So I think it was just an amazing achievement, an amazing performance. And as far as the World Test Championship goes, I guess the final, in a way, represented how that championship went. Like, it was kind of complex. You know, the ICC had to make a lot of last minute calls, like when series started getting cancelled in the wake of the pandemic. They had to figure a way out of, you know, ensuring that the World Test Championship is not stalled, because there was some talk of it early on sometime last year. Then they came up with the whole percentage points system. And so they were always thinking on their feet. And I think because of the weather in Southampton, the ICC continued thinking on their feet, and both teams had to think on their feet as well to really make a match of it, which I'm glad they did. So I think the format is still a work in progress. There's been a lot of talk. I know we'll get into the details of it about whether the one match final is good enough or should it be played in a neutral venue. There are so many question marks being asked about the final itself. But I think there are a lot of questions to be answered about the format itself. Well, we can't look for any answers before 2023, because ICC has already announced that they're going to stick to this format for the next cycle, which is between now and 2023.
Yeah, I like the format as a whole. I think this is bringing a renewed interest in the format of test cricket now, and fans kind of view this as they have something to play for now, instead of we're just going to have a series of four test matches and whoever wins wins. And you know that I've always been a fan of test cricket in general, and I personally love that this kind of adds another layer to that. A positive that I took from the match itself is how classy these players were. There was no real trash talking. It was just solid, classy test cricket that was being played. And that, for me, is what test cricket is all about. We can save the grudges and the trash talk for the shorter formats, because those are like real quick punches that you can do. Whereas this one, you kind of have to lay the groundwork and you have to play it out. So let's have a classy time, everybody. But this being the most pure form of the game, I just love when there's a lot of class being brought to it. The biggest negative for me is the same that it was for the India versus England women test match, was the weather. Constantly having to stop for bad light or bad weather, day one and day four getting washed out completely. Perhaps when they're selecting a venue for the next final, they should consider weather during that time of year. I think that would be the best way to go, because this isn't brand new that it rains in June in England. That's not new information. The ICC knows this. So while that is a negative, it did make for quite an interesting final day for a race to the finish.
Oh, it certainly did. Yeah. I mean, speaking of positives and negatives, I think the positive is just the quality of cricket we saw.
Yeah.
I mean, this was high quality test cricket. It might not be the kind of cricket that you can introduce someone to, but for someone used to introduce cricket to someone, but for hardcore cricket followers, you couldn't have asked for a better test match. It's always more fun to watch when the ball is dominating. You could see batting was just so difficult. It was a question of the fittest of the survival of the fittest. Sorry, got that wrong. From both teams, I think in New Zealand were just extraordinary. They made a match of it. Going into that last day, you still thought that the India really held the fate of that match, not in terms of being in a better position to win, but India could decide which way that game's going just by batting out that first session. But just the way New Zealand bowled, and to get rid of Kohli and Pujara that early, Kyle Jamieson, the new superstar, or I guess you can't call him the new superstar anymore, the superstar of world cricket now, that really turned the game. So at every point, the bowlers made a match of it. And, in the end, New Zealand deserved to win, like I said. But it was just really, really high quality cricket. You couldn't have asked for better quality cricket. The negative for me was India kind of letting me down on my 22 run win prediction. I think I was on record very early on in that match saying India would win by 22 runs, and everything seemed to be going to plan, to be honest, before those two early wickets for India. And also then I had a sneaky feeling that maybe the lower order would contribute a little more than what we've come to expect of them. Rishabh Pant was going really well. Once you set a target of 139, despite Ashwin bowling a magical spell, it was just not enough to hold the Kiwis back. India still, I thought, put a lot of pressure on them till the time the Kiwis were in the 40s. But, also such a great moment to see Kane Williamson and Ross Taylor, two such not just long custodians of long-standing custodians of New Zealand cricket, but two great mates and two guys who've seen a lot. I've seen New Zealand fall short. Ross Taylor, semi-final 2007, semi-final 2009, final 2011, final 2015, final 2019, and to finally, and he said as well, if England had, or if New Zealand had won the 2050 over World Cup in 2019. He would not have been there. So such a fitting end to see those two, in a warm embrace after being named world champions.
Oh, definitely. And if, like you said, once the wickets started to fall, if India had just held on through the second session, then the match would have ended in a draw easily. But because the wickets were falling so fast and they just had no answer for New Zealand's bowling attack, 53 overs was too many for New Zealand to come back. If they had made it even, I feel like if it was even 47 overs, I think even that would have brought the match to a draw. But it is what it is. And I'm a huge India fan. So while the India fan in me was very, very sad at the result, the Test cricket fan in me was really overjoyed by how much quality this match brought to Test cricket.
Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better advertisement.
And we were only going to have just one Rotate the Stripe topic, but something interesting happened on Twitter that I wanted to get Buddhist's take on. So one of my favorite actors, he's a South Indian actor, Siddharth, he took to Twitter and had the following to say about the World Test Championship final and how it should be formatted. And I quote, "The finals of the World Test Championship can happen as a best of three venues, a different three-way final. Imagine a final played across South Africa, Australia, and India. The test format needs protection and imagination." What are your thoughts on that, brother?
I actually like Siddharth. He also said some good things about me on Twitter a few years ago about, I think it was the Patrick Patterson piece, or maybe some other piece. And no, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I strongly believe that even though New Zealand deserved to be world champions, a New Zealand-India test match in Southampton, during a dreary week, in classic gloomy English weather, it is a neutral venue, but is it neutral enough, right? Like, yeah. But I mean, I'm not, nothing against New Zealand, nothing against them making the most of what they have, their resources and the conditions, and like we're being winners. We should not forget that they also have won their first series against England in 22 years. So yeah, it's not just the World Test Championship. I call it the most successful month for New Zealand ever in their test history. And I think it's an interesting format. So I was thinking last night about, would this final have been more neutral, at least on paper, if it was played at the MCG, for example. Siddharth's idea has some credence, especially because he's mentioned India, South Africa and Australia, which means that you can hold those three matches. I mean, there's a lot of logistical nightmares, especially in today's day and age. You're talking Australia, India, South Africa, none of which are close to each other. So there's a lot of travel involved. And the it has to happen in a short period of time. You can't spread the final series out, I don't think. So the one advantage with that idea is it all happens during cricket season. You can hold it during the same season, maybe across 3 weeks. But like I said, like there's a lot of travel involved there. It's not easy for even these professional elite athletes. So I still think a one match final is not a bad idea. A final is a final. I still think one match should decide the winners, or if it's a draw, you share the title, but maybe they can be a little more flexible with, who makes the final and then kind of choose the venue rather than just, having, like a blanket. No, it will always be in England, or it'll be in a country, kind of setup, right? Like, you know, it's every country, as we know, that's the beauty of cricket. Has its own unique characteristics in unique conditions. Like I said, the MCG would have been a great final for India and New Zealand. But at the same time, if, say, it's a South Africa versus Australia final, then maybe you can play it in England or maybe in the subcontinent. How cool would that be? So one thing we have learned from this match, though, is I'm all for teams playing in test matches happening in neutral venues. Not all of them, but the occasional, at least five neutral test matches a year would be fantastic. It would make for so much like great cricket like we have seen in the last 6 days.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. A neutral venue match, there's some sort of magic about it. I don't know what it is, but the fact that the England pitch is not really similar to New Zealand's, it's definitely not similar to India's, so they really had to play their hearts out in order to get that trophy for this final. But I think that the best of three is a good idea. I'm not so sure about having it in three separate countries for each match, but Perhaps pick the top three venues in one country. So let's say the World Test Championship final is happening in India. So pick the top three venues in India, or it's going to happen in Australia this year. Pick the top three in Australia. That to me is the best idea if we're going to change it to a best of three format. And I get where he's coming from in this. This is a celebration of Test cricket as a whole. So why not use the top venues of cricket for the final? But in three separate countries, a best of three, like you're saying, the logistics of it just doesn't make sense. There's too many people to travel. You got not just the players on the field. You got the coaches. You've got the broadcasting. You've got cameras. So many things would be in play for this, and the logistics don't match for something like that to happen. I don't mind the one and done style that is in play now, but I do think that a best of three could make a final pretty interesting. And especially here in America, all finals happen in like a best of five or a best of seven. So me personally, that's something I'm already used to, having more than one game or one match to determine a winner, because anything can happen. Like, let's say New Zealand, they had this big comeback in this match. Who's to say that India wouldn't just absolutely trounce them in the next two? We don't know.
Yeah, especially for India, who have made a habit of losing the first test and making dramatic comebacks in recent times. So I agree with you. There is some logic with a three-match series as well. But, you know, there's a question of, you need to find a window for that as well. And I actually like the idea of your idea of picking three venues, because in countries like Australia, England and India, or even to an extent in South Africa, you have different venues with different characteristics. So if you think Australia, if you have three test matches, Gabba, under lights in Adelaide and MCG or the SCG, three very different kinds of pitches, and you know, you need different kinds of skill sets to succeed there. Similarly, in India, you can have a match in the north, you can have a match in the west in Bombay, and one down south. So there are a lot of permutation combinations that can be used, but well, we'll have to wait till 2023 for this, the next cycle to end. Then maybe, we can, you and I, by then, of course, Chop On will be on, everybody would be listening to it. And we can send this clip from 2 years prior to the ICC.
Absolutely. And now we're going to move on to a quick bonus fact or fiction. We each say whether this is fact or fiction, and then we're going to make an argument as to why. And here is that statement. Calling the World Test Championship final the ultimate test put pressure on the final as a whole. Brother, is that fact or is it fiction?
I think it's fiction. I know some people wrote that not the future of Test cricket, but how Test cricket will be viewed will be centered around how well this match goes. I've never been a strong proponent of the idea that Test cricket is dying or Test cricket is floundering. I really believe that it is still the strongest format. It is the original format. That is original cricket, right? If anything, 50 over cricket has had an identity crisis in the last 10 years, ever since T20 cricket just became the shiny new object in town. But I've never felt that Test cricket has struggled. But like having said that, this was a great... It was an ultimate test, and it lived up to that name because of the high quality we saw on from both teams. And I think we were also fortunate that both teams, and cricket is so often marred by injury, right? Like all sport, especially cricket. You have a big series and there'll be that one injury on either side, and it'll kind of take away from the contest. But the fact that we saw the best playing the best 11 versus best 11, though a lot of people will argue that India didn't pick the best 11, I think it was their best 11. I thought it made up, like, you know, it lived up to that ultimate test moniker. But was there a lot of pressure on it to really keep Test cricket, like, you know, the future depended on it? I don't buy that.
Well, I'm going to say it's a fact, but I took it a little bit differently in the way that they said this is the ultimate test. So I took it as they were basically saying this is going to be the greatest test match ever by calling it the ultimate test. Mm. And to kind of tie it into wrestling, which is usually a part of our format here on Chop On, this really reminded me of when Edge and Randy Orton fought in the quote-unquote greatest wrestling match ever at Backlash last year. By calling it the greatest or the ultimate, that puts pressure on those involved to make it the best that it can be, which they should be doing in the first place, of course, but was Edge and Randy Orton match the greatest wrestling match ever? No, not even close, if you ask me, but they had that billing and that made it look foolish to me. And it was certainly a great match, but it wasn't the greatest. And the same happened here. Was this the ultimate test match? Meaning, is this the greatest test match that was ever played? No, it wasn't. But it was certainly a damn good one, and yeah. I'll take that. It's just a shame that advertising and promotion labels things like this, because I feel like a lot of fans immediately feel negativity towards it. Oh, this is supposed to be the greatest match ever. Pah, whatever. Oh, this is the ultimate test. Sure it is. Like, how do you know it's going to be if it hasn't even happened yet? And most things that are considered great or ultimate aren't considered that until much later on down the road. So I think the marketing of these events needs to be just a little bit more careful when they say things like greatest or ultimate.
I cannot disagree with at all. Like, and it's not just Tony Schiavone who is guilty of calling every wrestling event the greatest in the history of our sport. It happens a lot. The word great gets thrown around very loosely. I think hyperbole is an issue with people who are... I mean, in marketing, I guess you have to indulge in it. But it's serious commentators or people who are serious commentators on the sport start talking about it in that sense. Yeah, you kind of feel a little about it. And you're right. I mean, you have to wait for an event to happen. I mean, it's like when... at times you get told, I want you to write the best story ever. Like, I'm like, wow, what does that even mean? Like, right. You know, it's, you have these kind of, like, you know, These kind of, like the label are laid only after the event takes place. I don't think you can label it before. But in a way, well, calling it the ultimate test, it was the ultimate test for batsmen, if not test cricket itself. I thought it was the ultimate test. I've never seen batsmen tested more regularly and more consistently than we did during the 4 days of this test match, of the 6-day test, as it turned out to be. For me, in that sense, it was the ultimate test.
Thank you, everybody, that's tuning in to our super over of Chop On. We really appreciate all the love and support we receive. And I kind of like having a little bonus episode once in a while, brother. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. And I like, I don't know whether the Kiwi fans who listen to this will like you bringing in a super over when you're talking about a world championship that they have actually won. But I know I like super overs. I like their fun formats occasionally. So we can definitely dig in and have some super overs, not just on cricket, but on wrestling as well.
I think we can make that happen. And we drop our normal episodes every Wednesday in the US at 8:30 p.m. EST, Thursdays in India and Australia at 6 a.m. IST and 10 a.m. ACST. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Chop On Pod. On Twitter, he is at BeastieBoy07. I am at TheRajiv8. And let's keep chopping on, people.